Welcome to another episode of the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast. Today we're hosting Matt Hidalgo, who is a sales development representative at Cockroach Labs, and he's also a recent Bowery Capital Fellow from our 2019 class. We're here at the Bowery Capital headquarters today, and he's going to be talking to us about pursuing a fellowship and breaking into sales at an early stage startup. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you, Jess, and thank you for having me on. Hopefully I can bring a fresh perspective and offer some insights to our listeners.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on. So before we dive into today's topic, can you share with our listeners more about your background and just how you got into sales?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background definitely would not be the traditional one coming into sales or even coming into tech more generally. I grew up in Orlando, Florida to immigrant parents. My dad has always owned sort of businesses and been an entrepreneur his whole life and been in sales, which is where my interest kind of peaked from the beginning at a young age. Then I ended up going to NYU and studying public policy. And in my mind, I was definitely planning on going to law school and going for that route. But then my older brother, who's always been a big mentor to me, has worked in tech pretty much since he graduated from Columbia. He's had his own startup. He ended up working at Facebook. And he was the one always kind of pushing me to consider tech as a career path. And so, you know, I volunteered on a few political campaigns, ended up managing a local campaign when I was 19. And then my brother again was nagging me, telling me, look, I know you want to make an impact and you can make that same sort of impact you're making in politics and tech. You can get paid more. You can have responsibilities that are, you know, far above your pay grade. And so he started, you know, piquing my interest even more. I started seeking out a few jobs. And then my first real encounter with it was actually my own venture I did in sophomore year with a few friends. Essentially, we built out this on-demand mobile tutoring startup, recruited a few hundred users, had a few hundred sessions. It was sort of in the spectrum between either having to go in person and get a TA or having to go up on Chegg and look up your answers. We matched you with tutors in your class. And that startup experience was what really got me hooked on tech. Even though it was probably the point in my life where I was getting the least amount of sleep and I was the most stressed, I realized, you know, there's some real power in software, in building software and marketing it to people and bringing real value to people's lives. And so that's where I started pivoting and I said, all right, let me actually start exploring tech more formally. And I ended up finding this public policy fellowship at Twitter, which I applied for. I was accepted. I was the first undergrad there. Moved to DC for 6 months and took a semester off. I was working on the government relations team. And that was an incredible experience. Twitter's an amazing company. The team they have built out there is incredible. And I got a firsthand look at the privacy regulation, the tech lash that really has been dominating the headlines. I was able to, you know, see firsthand Zuckerberg, Dorsey be constantly, you know, going to these hearings and being grilled by our congressional lawmakers. And then that's where I also had the realization that, man, I really do love tech, and I think I want to move completely just out of the political realm and move to something that was, you know, a revenue-generating role. And so I started hunting around for my next opportunity. Being at Twitter also made me realize I wanted to go to something that was a bit smaller. Not that Twitter's a huge company, but I wanted definitely to kind of go back towards the startup realm. And so I began my search and ended up being connected with Bowery Capital.
Very cool. And so for the listeners who aren't familiar, talk to us a little bit about Cockroach Labs. Where is the company today? I've seen some pretty exciting news, so just curious on your take.
Sure. So Cockroach Labs, right away, people always, you know, remember the name and you either love it or hate it, but you definitely remember it. Mm-hmm. So the thing about Cockroach Labs is that we are a distributed SQL database. And, you know, if people aren't familiar with databases, if you've used Excel, you've used a database. And the database tends to be the beating heart or the foundation of any application or service. And so what we do as a distributed SQL database is we're really combating two, you know, very hard truths in distributed systems. And this is credit to our head of product marketing, Jim Walker, who really puts it succinctly. And those two laws are the speed of light and the fact that everything fails. And so Cockroach Labs is architected from the ground up to let you take full advantage of the cloud and to sort of combat these laws in terms of, you know, reducing latency by placing your data as close to your users as possible. And then for the resiliency aspect, by always having at least three copies of your data and having every instance of your data be a gateway to the entire database. So that even if a single instance, or we call it a node, of your data goes down, you still have it highly available and it's there. And that ultra resiliency aspect is obviously, you know, lending itself to the name cockroach, the one of the most resilient creatures on earth. And most recently, yes, we just announced a Series C funding. So we've added to the war chest. We're continuing to expand and to, you know, look globally as we continue to add to our customers and still very much being engineering and product driven and continuing to architect this for the future and capitalizing on the trends that we see on the horizon.
Awesome. Sounds like a great time to join the company.
So. Definitely.
And then before we actually dive into today's topic, can you share with our listeners just one fun fact that no one will know about you?
Sure. So one fun fact, I sort of mentioned it a bit briefly, but the entrepreneurial streak definitely runs in my family. As I mentioned, my father, you know, even though he came to this country with not much money and not knowing the English language, he very quickly got himself acquainted with business and, you know, he opened up a food delivery service. He's owned gas stations. My brother, as I mentioned, one of my older brothers owns his own entertainment company. The other one had his own startup. So that entrepreneurial streak definitely kind of runs through. And I got started young. I remember when I was 13, I ended up recruiting all the kids in my neighborhood to sort of run a lawn service company for me. And I was kind of kicking back and watching as everyone was out there picking weeds.
Love it. And so our listeners may not know, because you are obviously so accomplished very early in your career, but you just recently graduated. Congrats.
Thank you.
So tell me, why did you decide to pursue a fellowship instead of a full-time role?
Sure. I think that's a great question. Definitely an interesting question. And as fellowships become more common, I think more people are going to be faced with that sort of decision. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I already had become acquainted with fellowships when I did the Twitter Public Policy Fellowship. I sort of liked the flexible aspect of it in that, you know, it wasn't guaranteeing a full-time job. And I thought of it sort of almost as a trial run, right? Because it's very important. I think a lot of people forget that when you're interviewing, it's not just a one-way thing, right? You're also interviewing the company.
Mm-hmm. And, definitely,
you know, having the opportunity to actually work for a few months full-time and really get a taste of what your day-to-day work is like, I thought that's very appealing, especially since I'm making this career transition. I can feel out, is sales something that I really see myself doing? Is Cockroach Labs really a company that I want to work for? Is it a product that I really believe in? And so when I found the fellowship, I was very much attracted to that aspect, and also the mentorship, which is something that doesn't come necessarily with a full-time job, this sort of outside mentorship. So I definitely encourage people to look into more fellowships. There's plenty of them out there online that, you know, you can check out.
Cool. And so on that note, how did you find out about the fellowship?
Yeah, so the Bowery Capital Fellowship was something that I just stumbled upon, and the timing was perfect. As I mentioned, I was wrapping up my fellowship at Twitter, and I was looking, you know, I was a bit interested in maybe, you know, product roles, marketing and sales. And it was my brother, again, who told me, you know, a lot of what you learned in the political arena could definitely transfer over in terms of skill set to sales. You know, politics is basically sales, but you're selling ideas and people. And so I said, okay, yeah, that definitely speaks to me. I like the competitive environment, that sort of energy. And so, you know, searching around through my network, I was looking at one of my acquaintances' LinkedIn profiles, and I saw that he had worked at Bowery Capital. So I, you know, briefly heard of Bowery Capital before, ended up clicking, and on the website, there was a link there to the fellowship. Mm-hmm. Ended up applying to the fellowship, and I think this was literally maybe 2-3 days before Thanksgiving on the weekend, sent out, you know, my application at like 4 p.m. on Sunday. And Alex, who was the previous director of talent here, and she's doing a great job now running her own organization, she responded to me within like 30 minutes. And she had the same sort of reaction my brother had. She said, you know, I love your background. I see how you could really excel in a sales role. Let's set up a call, learn more, and, you know, see if this fellowship's a good fit for you.
Amazing. And so tell me a little bit about what the process was like to land a job at Cockroach Labs. Like you said, it's not necessarily a given. So what did that process look like? And then tell me about your day to day. What does that look like for you? What do you do?
Absolutely. So obviously I got, you know, matched in the fellowship, got in. Alex gave us a list of 10 companies that we were interested in, you know, pursuing a possible fellowship with. And then going down the list, Cockroach Labs, again, the name kind of stood out to me. And I said, let me learn a little bit more. At first, I was a bit, you know, tentative because of the fact that it was such a technical product. I don't have a super technical background. But then I thought about it in the opposite way. I said, this is something that initially makes me uncomfortable. Maybe I should lean in and actually challenge myself. And absolutely, if they're looking for, you know, entry-level people to be in a fellowship, they must also be providing the sort of training to empower you to do well in that role. So, you know, I talked to my friends who are software engineers or comp sci majors. Some of them had heard about the product. They said it was a really great open source product. Those that hadn't did their research and told me, hey, this is actually like a really amazing company. You should definitely pursue this. So then I ended up, you know, putting Cockroach as, I believe, my first choice. Got matched up with Cockroach. I believe the connection there is James Weissman, who used to work here at Bowery Capital.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's been an amazing mentor to me. And then the sort of formal process with Cockroach Labs began. And so that first entailed a call with the recruiter, Megan Mueller, who was very accommodating, very friendly, very much made me feel like she was on my side, trying to figure out, you know, is this the role for me? What is, you know, what is my interest? And so once that went well, moved on to the actual onsite that was set up. And Cockroach Labs is a very unique interviewing process because, for one, it's resume blind. So nobody that's interviewing you has seen your resume or is really, you know, allowed to ask much about your work background. It's
that's
actually
awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Good for diversity and inclusion.
Absolutely.
Very progressive.
Absolutely. And that's why we do have, I work with so many people from many different walks of life and many experiences. And it's in part thanks to that. We have an amazing people team. So the thing about it also is it's open source, just like the company. And basically all the practice, you know, it's an exercise-based interview for the most part. And those exercises are available ahead of time on our GitHub. And so the specific questions are obviously changed, you know, on an interview basis, but the gist of what you're actually going to be asked about is there. And so you can study ahead of time. There's no sort of surprises. And that, you know, accommodates people who maybe aren't, you know, best representing themselves in an interview if they can't think on their feet really well necessarily. It gives you that opportunity, that extra edge. And so the interview process was the onsite. My first interview was with Vinny Giacomazza, who's my manager, the VP of sales on the East Coast. He's an amazing boss, best boss I've ever had. He's again, an incredible mentor. And it was more of a cultural fit kind of interview, just finding out a little bit about, you know, my interest in Cockroach Labs. I was obviously asking him about, you know, how he empowers his SDRs and what he's looking for. And one thing I did, which I think is key, and it's something that I had read online and I put into practice, was I closed him in the interview, right? Because I'm interviewing for a sales position and everyone tells you the obvious, like you should send thank you notes to everyone. You know, that's a must if you're interviewing for something in sales. But another thing I did was literally at the end of the interview, I asked Vinny, you know, given this conversation here, would you recommend me moving on to the next stage? And would you like me on your team? And, you know, he was a little taken aback, but in a good way by that, that sort of assertiveness. And that's what he kind of wants to see in a salesperson. So that went well. Second interview was with James Weitzman, and it was the first practice-based one. It was pretty standard. It was craft the ideal customer profile for Cockroach Labs. Given that we sell, you know, database and OLTP database, our sort of, you know, market is pretty big, but still, you know, we have some clear verticals that we like to target. So crafting that out, and then he asked me to just pick a few companies that we should target. You know, that was a pretty straightforward exercise. Crushed that. The third one was with our head of demand gen, Maria Toft, who's a super tireless person. She's amazing. And that one was much more nitty-gritty details, and it was construct some sample cadences for prospects who had recently attended a webinar. So I came in already having researched. I tried to read everything on the Cockroach Labs blog. And so when she told me, you know, construct this cadence, like, you know, first day email, second day phone, so on and so forth, I already had pieces of material that I said I would send the prospect, right? If they watched this webinar and it had to do with, you know, Kubernetes, then I know this great blog post that one of your engineers wrote that would very much interest this prospect. So that right away then also very much impressed her. And then the final interview was with one of the AEs, Ben Mangum, who's a great guy. And that was, again, sort of a cultural fit. He had come over from Elastic. He's sort of an open source veteran. So being able to pick his brain about what he thought of Cockroach Labs, why he joined. And that pretty much sealed the deal there.
Cool. Awesome. Definitely a really good candidate thing to do there, doing your research and kind of diving deep, especially if you want it. It's key, right?
Right.
It certainly sets you apart from the other candidates. So nice. Good to hear that.
So in terms of what I do day to day at Cockroach Labs, it's pretty standard sort of SDR responsibilities. If you are familiar with that, if you're not familiar with that, you know, it's a combination of outbound and inbound prospecting. I work directly with two of our AEs, one that's based in the central region in Chicago, one that's based in South Central and slash Latin America, and he's based in Texas. And, you know, they have accounts that they're targeting. I'm helping them go after certain targets in these accounts, building cadences. Of course, I'm also pushing any sorts of events that we have. If we have webinars, you want to sign people up. We have an upcoming multi-cloud conference that I'm also signing people up for. And it's coming in and sort of developing, you know, my own workflow. Every SDR has their own workflow when they come in, you know, all the different tools we have, the Salesforce, the Sales Loft, and making sure I'm, you know, following up with the right sorts of touch points, developing those journey relationships with my prospects. And at the end of the day, the most important quota there is, you know, setting up meetings, setting up the first meetings, qualifying, if there's anything inbound, qualifying, making sure that it's even a good use case for Cockroach, which, you know, took a lot on my end to actually learn the technical side to make sure we're not wasting anyone's time here, right? And then setting up the meetings with AEs and sales engineers so they can actually sort of delve in and start the process of, you know, running a POC and hopefully converting these people to actual paying customers.
Cool. Awesome. And so tell us about some early insights that you found might be helpful for new grads who are looking to land a role at a startup and potentially on the flip side as well. It's a pretty tight talent market. So any advice for recruiters who might be looking to connect with top talent like yourself?
Sure. So in terms of early insights for people that are looking to land a role, I would definitely say tap into your university network as much as you can if you are still in college. There's definitely all sorts of entrepreneurial clubs or tech clubs. You know, make friends with software engineers if you're not already. Those are the people that tend to be, you know, in the know about the hottest startups or the coolest products that are out there. Obviously, scour the traditional sort of channels in terms of like AngelList, LinkedIn, any sort of those online directories, you know, your campus job postings. And one thing I think you definitely have to do is to become very well acquainted with whatever space the company's operating in and the actual product. Because people can sense your genuine enthusiasm and interest from the get-go. And the thing about startup hiring is that it's definitely not as regimented as, you know, say, investment banking or management consulting, where there's a very clear on-campus presence and there's, you know, just a sort of playbook that they follow. Startups, you know, obviously it's the nature of being in a startup. Hiring is all over the place. They may have a bunch of jobs open that they don't even actually advertise, or they don't advertise, you know, very widely. So if it's possible, and if you're very much interested in it, maybe you could consider, if you find a company you really like, even shooting out a cold email, right, to a recruiter or however high up. You know, keep it short, keep it simple, kind of give your value prop, why you're interested in this space, and then try to set up a call and be able to actually talk more articulately about why you think you'd be a good fit, why you want this job, and what startup is going to say no to someone who's passionate, right?
Yeah.
So that's on that end in terms of, you know, if you're looking specifically for some roles. On the other end, if you're a recruiter, you know, how do you make yourself attractive to these, you know, top sort of talents, especially, you know, you're competing with the Goldmans, the McKinseys, you know, the Googles.
Yeah.
And so I think you really, really have to sell it in a few ways. And one of the big ones is definitely in terms of responsibility, because even at my time in Cockroach, right, I've gotten the chance to do things that I would not be able to do at any other big company, that I was not able to do at Twitter, that I've, you know, I have friends that are in plenty of prestigious roles, but they have a lot of hand-holding. We're given a lot of freedom, a lot of creative freedom. And just because of the nature of the fact that we have so much to do, sometimes you get tasks that are, like I mentioned, like kind of above your pay grade. And so you're able to very rapidly progress in a way that you're unable to in any other sort of industry or company. I think that's one big thing. The other thing would also be in terms of, right, what really drives people most of the time, and a lot of it's money. And so maybe you're not able to compete, you know, salary band by salary band with people, but you are able to offer, you know, the upside potentially of equity that could be worth a huge amount of money if, you know, you're very much invested in the company and you stay there and you help it grow and become successful. And as I mentioned, you have that sort of path where you can definitely rise into a senior role much quicker than you would at any other place. So those are the things that I would definitely recommend in terms of, you know, making the company, making the role more attractive to any people that are potentially interviewing. When it comes to actually filling the top of the funnel, I would definitely say, if you can, become more regimented in terms of posting things to the campus job sites, right? Like scouring through NYU's job site, there were not too many startups that were on there. So
that for a lot of people, that is like their single source of truth. And if they don't see something on there, they're not going to search much outside of that. And if you can also maybe have an on-campus presence past, you know, the traditional software engineering recruiting, because there are so many roles out there that they're very bright, creative, young, talented individuals, you know, would love to be in and would excel in, but they just really don't even know that these roles exist or that these companies exist. So just increasing the awareness is going to drive more people to look and be like, huh, maybe a startup is actually where I want to start my career and really grow my career.
Cool. Very helpful. And then I guess you've been in seat now for a few months. So curious if you have any tips that you can share on ramping up quickly as a sales development rep.
Definitely, yeah. And ramping up quickly is definitely key, because, you know, the quicker that you can start generating money for the organization, the more your bosses are going to love you, the more you can be able to help the company and eventually be promoted. So, you know, this isn't necessarily unique to Cockroach Labs, even though we definitely have a longer sales cycle and a more technical product. But what the first thing off the bat is you need to become as well acquainted with the product as you can. Because you can't have any sort of serious conversation, have legitimacy in conversation with your prospects if you're not able to actually talk about, you know, the benefits, your competitors, so on and so forth. And so sure enough, the first thing that we have to do in terms of onboarding for the salespeople is to get pitch certified. Learn the pitch, perform the pitch in front of the CRO, CMO, get the sign off that you know it well enough, you know, and you're able to field questions about it. So the way that I approach that, originally, I was encouraged to sort of, you know, be mentored by the AEs, and that was useful, definitely, to hear the different AEs talk about it. But I sort of took the contrarian approach then, and I said, you know, actually, given that this was so technical, I'd actually like to, you know, pick the brain of a few engineers. So every single day I'd come in, I'd very diligently study in the morning, write down a list of questions, and then at lunch, I would just start making friends, talking to engineers. And what engineer doesn't love that? You know, a sales guy coming in and being actually very authentically interested in learning more about the product. And so I was able to grow my knowledge of it at a far, you know, faster rate than people who weren't necessarily doing that. And I was able to be pitch certified in 3 weeks when, like, the previous company record was like a month.
Oh, that's awesome.
Congrats. Yeah, which was really great. Thank you. Yes. So definitely I would say, you know, form genuine relationships with people outside of the sales org, because sometimes it's easy to get stuck in that bubble. But it can, you know, even just before I came over today, we were talking to a prospect who had a very specific question. And because I happen to be really good friends with the people on the support team, I literally, you know, rolled on over there and got their question answered just like that. And then we have a meeting set up for tomorrow. So, you know, that plays perfectly in that. And it's not just, you know, the self-serving aspect, but it's great to be able to come into work and know that you have all these great friends there. And that's what makes it fun. And you guys are all in this together.
Yeah.
So form genuine relationships outside of the sales org for sure. Ask as many questions as you can. You know, if you're working at a company with a great culture, you're never going to be made to feel like you have a stupid question. People want you to ask questions. They want you to ask them, you know, sooner than later. So ask as many questions as you can and, you know, learn a little bit from everyone's style. That's one thing that kind of surprised me in my early days in sales. I had the idea of, you know, the stereotypical salesperson. And sure, we have some of those at Cockroach Labs, but we also have a very diverse range of people. Mm-hmm. People who are maybe a little more understated or take a sort of non-traditional approach to sales, but they're just as successful. So you have to see, you know, what's working for different people, adapt it to your own personality, your own character. Again, you know, be genuine. And that's something that's going to serve you in the long run. And yeah, off the top of my head, I would say those are the key things in terms of trying to get ramped up quickly.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. I think the last point especially is key, right? It's easy to get swept up in how other people are navigating, but we're all individuals and we've all got different ways of approaching scenarios. So it's kind of learning from all of the best and then making it your own. I think that's important in almost every aspect of life.
Exactly. And that kind of plays to what I mentioned earlier in terms of, you know, when you're selling startups to these top candidates, you're going to get a level of learning, hands-on learning here that you're not going to get anywhere else, right? I'm constantly talking for hours at a day with our VP of sales. You're not going to be able to actually do that at pretty much any other company or any other industry.
Right. And then I think every good candidate probably runs into this situation, right? You're job searching, you end up with multiple opportunities. How do you decide on who you're going to move forward with?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if you are, you know, fortunate enough to have multiple great opportunities in front of you, it can definitely be a tough decision, and you might lean towards one or the other initially, and then you talk to some people and you change your mind. And so I think it's really about being regimented in that process. You know, make a list of perhaps personal criteria about what you care about. It could be super simple. It could be like, you know, geography, pay, room for growth. But above all, I think you really just need to find a company that you like and a product that you believe in. Because the power of having those two things behind you is going to make it so that you're going to enjoy coming into work every day, and it's not going to feel like work, right? When I go to cockroach labs, it genuinely doesn't feel like work. Like I have so much fun. It doesn't matter if, you know, I'm making whatever amount of cold calls or sending out emails every day, and maybe, you know, I'm not hitting my quota that day, but the fact that I'm there and I know I'm in this together with a great team and we're building out this product and it's something that we know the market needs and our customers are loving it, that I can't put a price on that, and nobody can put a price on that. So I would say, you know, don't get caught up necessarily maybe in the prestige of something. Really do your research. Reach out to people who work there if you can, or people who have worked there, and get their insights. Before I applied to the Bowery Capital Fellowship, I actually reached out to, I'm forgetting her name now, but she was a Bowery Capital Fellow last year. I believe her name was Avery. And I just, you know, asked her candidly, you know, what did she think about the fellowship? What did she get out of it? She had nothing but positive things to say about it. I did the same thing when I actually was getting ready to interview with Cockroach Labs. I reached out to somebody who had worked there. Same thing, very positive perception. And being able to get those, you know, unfiltered testimonials is definitely going to go a long way in helping you make that decision.
Cool. That's awesome advice.
Yeah.
And then last question, looking at fellowships more broadly, there's a ton out there, right? How did you decide that a sales fellowship was what you wanted to do? I know that you had kind of referenced it a little bit when you talked about Twitter, but just how did you decide, I want to do a sales fellowship?
Sure. So, you know, the fellowship I landed at Twitter was a very interesting one because it was normally just for graduate students and I kind of applied on a whim. And then that opened my eyes to the world of fellowships. I realized there's actually so many fellowships that are out there. We just really don't hear about them too much, but they're definitely growing in popularity. And so, as I mentioned, when I came towards looking, you know, where am I going to transition? What am I going to do? I, you know, was searching high and wide, and you know, I realized that there's no real clear-cut path into sales, even in tech. You know, it's not very delineated like some of the career paths I had mentioned before. And so I was like, you know, maybe some sort of guided program would be very useful here in terms of getting my foot in the door. And then, you know, the mentorship aspect, making sure that I actually excel in this role when I do get it. And so I started looking around and looking specifically for fellowships. You know, they have fellowships for everything, for sales, for marketing, for product. I know product is a big thing. Product's another thing that's sort of tough to break into, especially if you don't have, you know, the most technical background. But definitely search around, and you're going to end up learning so much, I think, because especially when you come in as a fellow, you're even treated a little differently than maybe just a normal hire, right? People kind of approach it as you are like this, you know, bright, young, eager student. And they're willing to give you even more resources, even more help to really empower you. And that was, you know, like working at Twitter, that fellowship was incredible because I got such a massive crash course in like privacy regulation and what's on the horizon in terms of, you know, breaking up big tech and what's ahead of the curve. And that has actually served me at Cockroach Labs because, you know, the product that we've built out, we're still the only database that does this. We allow you to geopartition your data, or essentially you can make sure that your data lives in a specific cloud or in a specific geographic region, which enables our customers who have to deal with privacy regulations to do so in a way that reduces operational complexity.
Very cool. And so any final tips that you want to share with our listeners?
Definitely. So the first one being, even if you're going in something with sales and marketing, I would not discount learning as much as you can about the technical side. That's probably my greatest regret of college, is not taking an intro to comp sci class. Even nowadays, I've been looking in a few boot camps. We actually have a bunch of salespeople at Cockroach Labs that have a good amount of technical experience, which definitely serves them in their day-to-day. They don't need to always bring on a sales engineer onto a call to be able to answer all these questions. And so, you know, even if you think, I'm going to stick completely to sales and marketing, or, you know, I don't need to know this or that, I'm telling you, it's going to give you a framework that's going to serve you. If you're going to be working in tech, it's just good to know even the basics of it. And so that would be the first one I'd say, definitely at least learn, you know, the very rudimentary sort of programming or intro to CS, get that down. And obviously, if you like it, you can continue on more and more, and that's only going to empower you. But the second one would be to definitely also do your own venture. And that's the most accelerated learning you're ever going to have, right? Being able to be thrown into the deep end. You have all these questions, none of the answers. For every question you do answer, then you have 10 more questions to answer. And it's going to jumpstart your career in the sense that it gives you something to really talk about in interviews. It's going to set you apart. You know, your resume is going to get that second or third look that other people's wouldn't get. And you have a level of experience and maturity that definitely shines through. And again, if you're going to be working at any sort of tech company, it's good to know what's it like to actually build a product from the ground up. Working on my sophomore year venture at Apollo, when I was talking about consumer products, you know, with Twitter and my Twitter interviews and even working, you know, at Twitter, I had a lot of insights from there that I could sort of translate over. And even now I'm working on a side project with a friend called Kali, and we're getting ready to launch. And same thing, you know, I'm the kind of person who I can't have an idle mind. And so I'm always constantly working on something. And whatever you work on your own is always going to translate over to your actual work. It's going to expand your horizons. It's going to grow your network. And it's going to continue to put you in places where you can build your personal brand. And, you know, as I always mention, and probably the biggest takeaway is continue to form genuine relationships and help out as many people as you can.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining me on the show, Matt. It was really great to have you.
Thank you so much, Jess. It was my pleasure.